What's up, podcast listeners? It's Nate Russell. I'm here to tell you about another podcast on this UCB Comedy Podcast Network, my show, the UCB Digital Podcast. I bring on writers, directors, editors, actors, producers, and get the inside scoop on what's happening in the world of comedy filmmaking. It's like a fancy Hollywood networking party, but instead of having to actually socialize, you just sit back and put your headphones on. There's new episodes every single Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Guys, we're trying something a little fun and new. We had such a good time during our VR episode interacting with our listeners and getting their best Definitely Dying stories that we want to ask you guys to share any stories you have with us. So if you have any stories about either thinking you were sick and being wildly wrong, or actually getting sick, or a wild injury story. Basically, if you have any stories you would tell at a party, if it was a party full of people who didn't mind a downer story, give us a call at our Definitely Dying hotline. The number is 323-388-3879. I'll repeat it. And that's 323-388-3879. And you can leave your story on a little Google Voice answering machine. Yeah. And maybe we'll feature it on the show.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun? Hello, I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad. And we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair. And
my knee hurts.
My arm is kind of rash.
Is that a rash?
And I had Asian food and that makes me feel kind of sick. I got a thing on the side of my ear.
I haven't cried in 3 years.
Hello! We both looked at each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, who's going to say hello?
Hello! We're back!
We're back! With another Definitely Dying coming right at ya.
Right at ya. Duck.
Yeah, I'm chewing gum and I was going to swallow it, but I'm really enjoying it. So I'm not going to keep it in for our whole interview, but I am going to keep it in for this intro. Is that okay with you?
I guess.
That is the exact appropriate response.
What am I going to do? You've made it clear to me over the years that if you ask a question, I can give an answer. But really, that was not really a question. It's like, this is what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
That okay with you?
Yeah, is that okay?
No, it's fine. It's totally fine. Madeline also has the back scratcher from previous weeks.
Yeah.
She's bringing about calm,
yeah,
right?
I'm massaging myself with this. I look at this old Christmas hook. It's really what it looks like.
It looks
like I don't even know what a Christmas hook is.
Yeah, no.
But this, what is it called?
It's a Christmas hook.
It's a Christmas hook. Can we take a picture?
It's a Christmas hook.
People, can you just weigh in and say, does this not look like a Christmas hook?
The Christmas hook, as featured in Auld Lang Syne. Anyway, Madeline, didn't you do Comedy Bang Bang this week?
I did.
Did it go good?
Well, I thought it went great. I did a character I've wanted to do for a long time, which was not even so much a character, but just me pitching what I think would be a genuinely good reality show idea called Hot Tub Diarrhea, where a bunch of people...
So you want multiple episodes of this?
Yes. This is like something I have several times started talking about this at like a party or something, and I get so excited I can't stop. And I was like, oh, I'm so passionate about the idea of a reality show about people eating a big meal and getting in a hot tub, and the first one who diarrheas is eliminated. I was like, this will be a great, funny character. It's a little subversive because it's like, oh, reality TV.
Yeah.
How stupid, how arbitrary. We're reducing ourselves to sort of the most basic and like humiliating scenarios in order to be on television.
Right?
Like, it's smart.
I'm on board with this pitch.
So I played a reality producer who had produced like seasons and seasons of this hit show, Hot Tub Diarrhea. People hated it.
They hated it.
They really hated it. I was really proud of myself because I was so tickled by it.
Yeah, yeah.
That I like went on the message board because like there's an Earwolf subreddit where a bunch of people who love Earwolf like will like really, you know, dive deep. And like their comments, like so the first time I did Bang Bang, people were nice. They were like, you know, oh, I never heard this person before. Like, and people were like, she does a podcast called Definitely Dying. A lot you know, Bang Bang regulars have been on it, blah, blah, blah. This one, the only comment was, it's, I find poop humor really juvenile. Someone just said, and someone was like, by the title of this, I think it'll be a lot of poop humor. Should I skip it? And someone else said, no, don't skip it. The first two thirds are good. I was in the last third. And then they were like, the last third is bad. Just a lot of lazy diarrhea jokes. And I felt really bad about myself.
Do you think that this person finds diarrhea jokes lazy, or they thought that your choice of diarrhea jokes were the latest?
Well, I think maybe that's what hurt my feelings the most. Because maybe it was not even just the existence of diarrhea jokes. They just found mine to be a real low-hanging fruit. I hate to be told I'm bad. But I felt really strongly that this was a good idea. And I maybe still do.
Yeah. I mean, what you got two... you got two people that said that it was no good.
More. And,
oh, more.
Yeah. Those are just the one I remember.
How many
Not a ton. Probably four or five.
How many of them used the phrase poop humor? How many of them said
like
that?
Two, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't trust anyone who has something negative to say about a poop joke and calls it poop humor.
Like, but that someone just... did have shout out to Definitely Dying also. They were like... someone like commented on another comment that was like, if you listen to Madeline's podcast, you know she loves diarrhea.
Yeah, yeah.
She loves diarrhea and poops, I think. Part of me wants to look more, but I can't because I know I'll hurt my own feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I think, like, I'm going to make an effort to just close the book on an internet forum where I know people have not liked a thing that came from my own brain. But if you guys want to check it out, you can. Yeah, I mean, you can find the episode. You know, it's the Comedy Bang Bang episode that came out on August 28th. But you can listen to that. But what I more encourage you to do is go to the Earwolf subreddit if you want to see how few people enjoyed my comedic take on reality television and diarrhea, which is now, I guess, my brand.
Yeah, I guess since we're on the subject, and you can check me out on Duck Snort podcast, which came out today, the 29th. So, which came out August 29th, starring Greg Nix and Waylon McQueen. So there. Now you can listen to us on other podcasts.
Other podcasts.
Go now. don't come back. Don't come back until you've come around on diarrhea humor.
It's funny. It's objectively funny.
Yeah, it's objectively funny, and don't mess with Madeline's brand.
Yeah.
Leave her alone. She's
also,
nice.
Also, if you don't like it, that's okay. It's, you know, we're all free to like or not like what we like or don't like.
I guess so, but I mean, do you have to take it to the message boards?
I understand, but
I don't. You hurt Madeline's feelings and I'm mad. Madeline's laughing it off. I'm still pissed. And I'm going to stay pissed week after week after week until you correct this message board. Should we start the show?
Yeah, let's do it. Guys, we have a great guest for you today. He's so cool. He's done so much. He said, you don't even need to introduce me with any credits. He said, just call me Comedian John Gabris. So, guys, welcome Comedian John Gabris.
Oh, thank you. I will like to say that it's not because I have so many credits. It's because I have nothing recent. I don't want to be the guy who's still like, weren't you on Guy Code 5 years ago? Like, that's why I'm not.
I recently, people... For some reason, if, like, anybody needs to, like, make a put like a credit in parentheses for me. They always put College Humor originals, and I have not done a College Humor video in years. And it, like,
and even that is like,
and
the
even then, it's like fine. It's like I like, you know, like I'm they're always grateful to
you
College Humor, but no, they're really not. But
I've been working with them for 15 years, and I've made almost $1,000. So I don't, we can light these motherfuckers up right here.
And College Humor another, Patreon.
Recently, I made something that had Ian Roberts in it, and they like it got into like a little festival, and they pulled a credit for him. And for Ian Roberts, his credit was just UCB Comedy Originals.
Oh, I mean,
which is harsh, like, sure, but yeah. I was like, oh, I don't know. He also ran Key and Peele. Yeah.
Or you could
like,
just put UCB because he's like the founding father of the originals. Yeah. There's like 11 layers that go all the way up, and it gets to him.
Yeah, he's like the great great grandfather of UCB Originals. But based on that one bio, it looks like he was a man who was just maybe in a UCB YouTube video.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first thing I ever did, like, that was a real credit was a sketch on Conan O'Brien, yeah, which used to be like a little UCB thing in New York till that, yeah, dried up. But I had Late Night with Conan O'Brien, yeah, in parentheses next to my name, which made no sense because I like was a non-speaking, yeah, person in a sketch. And it was like, I just had, no, and people were like, do you write for it? Were you a guest on it? It's like,
and you're like, no,
I'm like, I'm waiting for the next one.
That's just where you know me from. Hi, I'm Ben Axelrad, parentheses Baywatch Nights. Gamers, we'll just start the podcast off with the same question for all our guests. Let's see how it fits you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
Oh, shit.
I think that's an answer.
Yeah. I would say I'll put it at a 4.
Okay.
Because I'm rather I don't really think about that kind of stuff, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm, I am 35 and my life is like, you know, people around me that are older are passing away, and I'm like, oh, and I want to have a kid and all that stuff. So that shit's coming into my mind more and more now. And it's really not so much thinking about death. It's more thinking about life, which, yeah, is, yeah, you know, that was just like, welcome to fucking hip-hop, right, yoga. Light your candles.
It's so nice to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, hey, I know this is the premise
done
of your podcast, but I'm definitely living. Thank you. You can catch me on Conan O'Brien. No, it's more about I'm thinking about how to, like, do what I can while I'm here.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So here's a quick anecdote. My dad passed away, you know, 6 years ago before I got, like, a couple months before I got married. Mm-hmm. But my dad was, like, a workhorse. He worked, he was, like, a lighting tech for TV, and he worked nonstop, like, classic, like, union, blue-collar, first guy in the family to have, like, a real job. And he was a genius, like a super smart guy, but he was a high school dropout. And he read the newspaper every day. And he was like, I'm like, Dad, you got to read books. You're going to, yeah, I would buy my dad books and be like, Dad, you're so smart. You love World War II. You would love this fucking book. You would, oh, Dad, you would love. I bought him all these books. He's like, Johnny, I tell you, the day I retire, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read books on the beach all fucking day. And I was like, oh, that sounds amazing. Like, it sounds amazing. And my dad never read a book because he didn't really have the time, and he saved it all for retirement and then died like 8 years before he retired.
Yeah.
And it's like reading books is like not paramount to, sure, like it, but it, for me, it was just like, I'm not saving shit for shit,
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah.
It just feels,
yeah,
and now I'm like flip that where I'm like, oh, I want to buy a home. I'm like, oh, yeah, I could think, I got to start thinking ahead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's fucking, it's crazy to imagine like all the, like the joke was when recently, I'm thinking about death, recently we thought maybe there'd be like nuclear war,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And I was, yeah, like, the thoughts that crossed in my head, I was like, I'm literally about to pop career-wise.
I had the same thing where I was like, this has been a bad year, but professionally, yeah, it's like kind of working out.
I'm on my way,
yeah,
up. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, please. I'm like, yeah, no, yeah, not now. Let, right, me have, I've been doing this for fucking over a decade. Yeah. Let me get a couple, yeah, good years. Then, yeah, nuke. I'll volunteer to be nuked once I get a couple of U5s, yeah, on fucking, right, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I don't know why I'm obsessed with it. I think I said U5 on Brooklyn Nine-Nine is like, I think it's just, it's stuck in my craw that I haven't done a U5 on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, where so many of my friends were. I'll call you out by fucking name on this podcast, Phil Jackson. But, and it's like, and that I've been thinking about that more. But for me, I don't get that negative, like, oh shit, stave off death.
Right.
It's more like, how,
yeah,
can I maximize,
yeah,
life?
That's,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, yeah.
So, which I think is just like that bullshit silver lining of like, I guess that,
right,
means I am thinking about death,
yeah,
but I'm,
yeah,
just using it to spin, I'm spinning it positively.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And I've been thinking a lot, like, weirdly, like the world's scary now. Like, and mm-hmm. I've been like more actually scared on a daily basis. Like, and that has strangely made me not less
because
scared.
Because all the minorities, right?
Yeah, I'm very scared.
I'm terrified. They're like getting all these good jobs. They're fucking marching around. I'm nervous as all hell.
Yeah, they're coming from a bunch of different countries.
They're coming from the bottom. They're coming from the top. They're landing on boats.
It's very scary.
By sea, by air, by land, these immigrants, we're going to get fucking... The white people as we know it are out. And that's why I'm so scared. Right? That's what I put words in your mouth a little bit.
But like, you said it kind of better than I could.
Madeline, your thoughts were really racist. I can't believe you made Gabriel say all those things.
I'm just usually bad at articulating them. Usually, like, I try to say that, and then I end up saying, like, everybody's a human being.
I got you. You need to get racist. Take it through the gamer's lens. I got you.
I knew you were afraid of all those forms of transportation. I just didn't realize why until now.
I like that we're talking about like getting older and dying, and you're sitting here with a Theracane in your hand.
Well, so I found this Theracane in this room. This Theracane, I found it last week. We already have talked about it on the podcast. It's like a nice bonus that I don't really need. My one left shoulder is bad. I think it's because my purse.
Oh,
like there's like a permanent like in my left shoulder.
Usually that should go away when you move to a driving town.
Because I
know in New York it like cripples women. My wife has like destroyed her shoulder over the years. But now being in LA, I feel like you get like a buffer. Like if you have it bad now, imagine walking the streets. The streets. Like, that's what my wife did. She was a vigilante, and so she had to keep all of her weapons in her purse.
Well, that's why when I go to New York, I wear a fanny pack.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah.
Or fanny packers.
Yeah, I wore a backpack. I'm 35 years old and I wear a fucking backpack.
Man, a backpack is terrific.
And you cannot be infantilized quicker than throwing a backpack on.
No.
Especially, I mean, you have literally my uniform on. Camo shorts and a graphic tee of some sort. Throw a backpack on there and you might as well, a bus will pull over and pick you up.
I wore a backpack yesterday and ate a Lunchable out of it. I'm 40. I'll say it again. I'm 40. I was able to eat lunch only because I had a Lunchable. True story.
Both financially and time-wise. It just makes the most sense at this point.
Like I said, professionally skyrocketing.
Eating Lunchables out of my bag on the street. We better not get nuked. These are the salad days.
Then I got on the bus and went home.
That shit'll fuck you. I want to get a fanny pack because I have a lot of shit in my pocket. As a stoner, I carry way too much. Like, I want the fanny pack for my lighter and a couple of roaches.
That's a cool way to use a fanny pack.
Yeah.
No, totally. Yeah. I think we're the same, but from different places. Like, you're the...
I'm like
Detroit Gabriel.
Yeah, I'm Detroit Gabriel. That's what they call me in Detroit.
And they meant it just as a slur, and then you find out that it comes from a real person's name who's younger than you.
I'm sitting on Easy Street. They're comparing me to a 35-year-old from New York.
I feel like a million bucks. I'm going to be fine.
Bring it, nuclear war. Bring it.
And now that me and my wife are trying to are talking about having kids, makes it sound like we're fucking. And we are. But
are you guys
getting laid, bro?
Well, no, but that line, because I have like friends who are like, they're like, we're trying. And like, are you guys past that line?
There's like the we're not trying. Like, we've pulled the goalie. And you know what I mean? And like, there's that. And then there's I've been tracking. It's these next 5 days.
Yes.
We fuck like we're 19 again.
Which one? So you guys are not trying?
We're not trying.
When you're married, what does pull the goalie mean? Like, what's
off birth control?
Off birth control.
So like, you're not getting weird to...
Right, to wear condoms with your wife?
Yeah, definitely.
That. So, there's got to be you get a good tax break, a big party, and you don't have to wear condoms anymore. That's like the only reason you need to get married as an atheist. although I don't think... it was actually we were talking about this the other day somewhere. It's like, so we're blah, blah, and someone mentioned condoms. And Tiffany, my wife, was like, I'm just blowing up her spot on this podcast. We were like, we've been dating since I was 21.
Yeah.
We started dating in college. And she's like, we've never used condoms. And they were like, people were like, what? Like, we've been fucking for four. And then I had like this weird panic where I'm like, for 14 years, I was saying like, holy shit, I hope we're not pregnant. Oh my God.
Yeah.
When's your, and now we want the opposite to happen.
Yeah.
It feels like you jinxed yourself for a year of like,
oh, yeah.
oh God, like, all of a sudden it's like everything I've ever thought. And then now you find out how hard it is.
Right.
And you're like, why was I so stressed for so long? It's like, it can only happen these 3 days, even if I do finish completely inside.
Yeah.
But in high school, they tell you it's like, oh, if you throw a cummy rag on a girl's bed, she can wake up the next morning pregnant. You're like, what? No.
I have a family of four from cummy rags.
And it's like, a friend and I were talking about this. Is like, is it like athletes ruining it for everyone because they're like 22-year-old studs keep knocking women up?
Yeah,
and it's
it's,
is it because they're like primo specimens who are super fertile and virile?
Yeah.
I mean, I am 35 and, as I said, a pot smoker. And as you can hear, I'm over 300 pounds. You can hear my jowls flap. That's why I got this little screen in front of the mic.
What made you guys decide to start? Like, what did something, were you like, when we're this old, we'll have kids? Or did something shift and you were like, now we want kids?
I wanted them earlier. But it's such, like in our house, I mean, as in, I'm assuming a lot of marriages, like everything, like Tiff just, I'm passive. She's super assertive, as she likes to say. I have other words. I was just like, I'm ready whenever you are. And she's like, I'm not ready yet.
Yeah.
Work's crazy. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying life. And she's also a partier.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it took to being like, we're getting to be 35. It's like, how much longer do we want to wait?
Yeah.
And what if it takes 2 years? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
we're like,
we talk about maybe having one of multiple kids. It's like, all of a sudden it's like, oh fuck, we should have started 4 years ago.
they really make it feel that way, don't they? Yeah. It feels like, I think you should have your preschool picked out already.
And I'm like, oh fuck, we did this way wrong. And we just like waited forever and we're like, oh, okay, now makes sense.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh shit, we do the math on this. Like, we're going to be 55 when our kid graduates high school, if it happens in the next year.
Yeah. Which I guess is like, in LA isn't so crazy, right?
No, it's not so crazy. I think in like major metropolitan areas, like, it's more common. Like in my hometown, it's like everyone has like 8-year-olds.
No, same with me. Like, I think about it sometimes that like on those, like I honestly try to think about it on the days where I'm feeling best about myself, that to all my friends back home, I live in squalor. Like, I think it's important to I think that's my perspective. That's
My friends do not understand what I'm doing. They like, they thought like, I've seen you on TV. How do you not have a pool?
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I live in an apartment with my wife and my little dog.
Mm-hmm. I just hit a point. I don't know what. Maybe it's just like
the G spot.
Terrific.
What are you doing with the therapy?
I almost legit choked on water for what it would have taken 5 minutes easily. That was the most surprised I've ever been on this podcast. Thank you.
Hey, what can I do?
Also, Gabriel, you managed to say things that, like, if most other people would say, I would be like, excuse me, but it's just, like, so fun and charming. Yeah.
It's really weird that you say a lot. I just was hanging out with Betsy, Mono, and McCabe today, and they said the same thing.
Yeah.
They were like, Mono described me as, he says the worst things, but you like him for some reason.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I hear the first half a lot.
Somebody else would be like, oh, you know this fucking creep? He's always like,
I'm super sexual, super racial. I'm like, as much, and I think people just look, I think I win all those battles because people just look at me and go like, all right. Like, I think I'm like so low status and so, and anyone who knows me knows how hard I shit on myself. So they'll like take it from me because they're like, he's going to go home and look in the mirror and circle the fat on his body with a Sharpie. I like roast the shit out of myself. I literally started doing a one-man show here where I bully the audience. I like talk to the audience about what they've been bullied about in the past. Like, and then I fucking go in on these.
Seriously?
And people showed up. I'm doing another one.
I was like,
really?
Like,
it was like a 10:30 on a weeknight, and these people showed up, and they were like, yeah, everyone in school said this about me. I'm like, well, that's because you're fucked. Like, literally, I just, like, yelled at, like, a Korean guy for being Korean, and he was, like, hysterical laughing. I'm like, what's your name? He's like, Colin. I'm like, bullshit. And he's like, okay. I changed it to Colin. I was like, yeah. And I'm like, holy shit, I'm a monster. But everyone's laughing, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, that was hysterical. I'm glad people are still racist every once in a while. I'm like, hey, I'm not racist. I make racial comments.
I'm glad people are still racist.
I maybe misquoted her there, but or maybe shouldn't have quoted her there.
You guys are going to be such nice parents.
Yeah, I've managed to kind of find that niche where I can say shit to people and people don't seem to care.
Have you always been like that?
Yes. I've pretty much been a monster my entire life. I grew up in a household where, like, this is how we spoke to each other. Like, we were mean to each other. Anyone from the outside would say that And like it took my wife coming home with me once we first started dating and being like, you know, your father's actually really mean. You talk about how funny he is. He's so mean. And I'm like, oh, that's funny in our house. Like my dad will be like, Joanne, put the, my mom is Joanne. Joanne, put the pretzels down, you fat fuck. And he'd be like laughing at her. Be like, and my mom is fat. And we're like, yeah, it's funny. And be like,
would she be like, that's funny? Or would she be like, out?
I think I misremembered it my entire life that she was okay with it. Because my mom is like goofy and can laugh stuff off.
Yeah.
And she's a little self-deprecating and she's what's the word I'm looking for? Like flighty and kooky. She's like a dumbass, but I love her. My dad would say that. And then I think as I got older, I was like, oh, wait, no, that hurts. Like, that really hurts my mom's feelings. Yeah. And it took, like, Tiffany to point it out. And she was like, you guys are brutal. Like, we were just, they were shitting on my brothers. The first time Tiffany met me, my brothers were shitting on me so hard. Telling the most embarrassing stories, just, like, making up shit about me or true stuff that no one should know about me. And they're just killing me. And then Tiffany, like, chimed in once and was like, yeah, I know, right? John's like, and my brothers go, you're not allowed to talk to him like that.
Yeah.
He just turned on her and was like, you stay out of this. And I was like, oh my God. Welcome to the family, babe. That was 15 years ago.
Do you just have brothers?
I just have brothers. Yeah. And I think that's why it was so hard on my mom. And my I've said this on other podcasts, but my brothers are no discredit to, I've been around comedians for a decade.
Yeah.
My brothers are funnier than like 85% of the people at any comedy. In my mind, and maybe it's because our sense of humor, we're clearly built in the
like
same way.
I feel like that about my brother. Like, because like we like truly like anything they'll say will feel like so specific and just right, and it'll hit like just like the right button. And I'm like, these are the funniest people. Like, everybody, look at my funny brother.
I think it's true amongst a lot of really funny people who like who go on to pursue comedy.
Yeah.
We all probably have back home or growing up or in college, like our friends were funny.
Yes.
Right? Like your group of friends were funny, and it's like, I always was the funniest one out of my friends, but sometimes the comedy person is not even the funniest one out of their friends.
No,
they're one that's
the
trying
one.
It, but it's like, no, you got to meet my friend Nico. Yeah. He's like a fucking lunatic. Right. He's the funniest.
He just like impregnated a girl when he was
there. Is like, we're saying funny friends back home. Oh, and then there's like, when you meet not funny people and they're like, you're going to love my friend who's so funny. And that means that person's an asshole.
Right.
Yeah. Always, right? Like if you're if a non-funny person's like, you know who you're going to like? Do they do comedy? No, they're hysterical. Yeah.
Right.
Like, I'm going to hate this person.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But like if a funny person says this person is funny, they just don't do comedy. Yeah. I trust them.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, even like I remember like, I hate meeting someone else's improv friends who I don't know already. Also, if they're like, ooh, you got to meet like my friends from my improv team. Yeah. Like, I'm like, if they're not already my friends, knowing how like my improv friends behave, that when you're on the outside, like is the worst.
My wife has been dealing with bits. She hates bits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've been doing them for 14 years in front of her. Like I was in a college comedy group when we first started dating.
Oh, no.
So it's been relentless. My whole life, I've just been like, if she misspeaks, all my friends are like, okay, she's like, I hate it here.
What does your wife do?
She works in marketing for a TV network. So she's like, understands the business a little bit, but doesn't give a fuck about it.
And
she's also hysterical.
Yeah.
Like, and she's brutal and very funny too, but like, she just, she just keeps it to herself. No, she's pretty outspoken.
She knows how to turn it off sometimes.
That's the ability to like participate in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I do not have. I'm trying to learn. The thing I'm trying to, and this will, I'll try to circle it back to thinking about death and living, is I was talking to someone about this. I've been talking about this a lot lately with my friends, because something that's new to me that I've been working on is just thinking about the future a little bit.
Huh.
Like what a decision today will do. Even tomorrow down, like an example, like booking yourself on like, that sounds fun. Yeah, I could do that. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, let's grab drinks. And then when you're like, get to that week in your calendar and you're like, this is my third podcast today.
Yeah.
Third different one. And I'm like,
I'm
like, why? And I couldn't switch it because I switched it. I had to do it. But it was one of those things where I was like, oh, you should know that like what, And at this point, it's about mental health. I'm not doing the things I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I guess physical health, too, because it's like my time is being eaten up by scheduling and doing these things that I don't. Like, I'm so happy to be here, but it's like, I wish I would have just done better planning it.
Yes.
And food and alcohol and drug consumption is like the other thing that I'm like, if I ate clean for like a month and lost 20-something pounds. And I was like, oh, shit, that was I did it. And that's the worst news ever is when you find out, like, oh, it took actually strict dieting.
I'm just dying
for it to be like, you know what? I just started taking the stairs or whatever. But instead, it's like, no, I fundamentally switched everything I consumed for an entire month.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. And I was like, fuck. And I felt so much better every morning than I did. And I'm like, you know what? I have to start thinking about when I can't think outside of like the arm's length around me. And I need to start being like, and then I think that on a grander scale is like what the shit I was talking about earlier is like, I need to start thinking like, I need to exercise today, not so I look, not so I get down in weight, but so I can like run after my child on the beach in 10 years.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm unable to do, at my level of fitness, which I'm on my way back up, but I'm unable to do things that I find fun.
Yeah.
Which is, like, bad news.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
you should, like, that's an unhealthy.
Like what? Like what?
Like, I go to the beach with my friends, like, once a week. We get super baked, and we have a blast, and we swim around, all that shit. That I'm all fine with that. But then, like, they're like, let's throw the Frisbee around. I fucking love playing Frisbee.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm fucking tired and my knees hurt from running.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is bad. I was like, I played sports my whole life. And now I can't even do things that are fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and I'm only 35.
Yeah.
And I know if I have a kid tomorrow, if the kid is born tomorrow in some insane, I would have to have a long conversation with my wife. If I have a half black son born tomorrow, I'm in way over my head. I would have to be like, if my kid was born, like when he's 10, I'd be 40. I have to think about that now. I have to think about, like, I want to be able to do, I don't want to be like, you had those friends growing up whose dad was like, but then you had your other friends whose dad was like, he's gonna go kick the soccer ball around with us. And you're like, what? Your dad is awesome. Yeah. My dad's never even home.
Yeah.
It's more like my house, but my dad is a jock. He just wasn't home or connected in any way with his children. But that's a whole other story.
I think about it all the time, like how did I ever play Little League? That's getting to a baseball would be the hardest thing, or like throwing a ball fast at another, like in another person's direction. Like, how do you keep a shoulder after doing like that? Your shoulder just drops off of
and
your body.
Like, and then it's like some of these things you want to be able to do.
Yeah.
You know? You're like, oh yeah, pretty I would love to do that. People people are like, I like to rent a bike in Santa Monica and ride it all the way up to Malibu.
Yeah.
Like, I think I would fucking die.
Yeah.
But that sounds beautiful. Even hiking, like, we went to New Zealand, my wife and I, and a friend of a friend of a friend that she knew was like, oh, I'll take you guys around for a day of tours.
Yeah.
And on like the second like thing we were doing, and it's all these beautiful like fucking Hobbit-esque scenery. I'm suffering.
Yeah.
And I'm unable to fully enjoy this, but I also cannot say a word.
Oh,
it's embarrassing.
Oh,
yeah.
One time walking to the Dodger game, walking up the hill to the Dodger game, I started panting really hard and had a panic attack and pissed my pants in front of all my friends.
Holy shit.
Nothing more to the story than that. Nothing more to the story than that.
When was that? Was that when you were still smoking?
Yeah. So it was probably like 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah.
Holy shit.
I was like, I don't know what to do. And then just like pee started pouring out of me. And so I like ran to some bushes and I was like, what are these bushes going to do for me? They did nothing. I just had to go to the baseball game with pee in my pants.
Oh shit. That's like truly terrifying.
It was really scary. Yeah. Because I thought I was going to have a heart attack. You know, like that's that thing like where
you're like, oh, this feels like the precursor to something really.
Yeah.
Oh, I felt this before, but only after I like ran from the cops or if like chasing this, my friend playing tag. And now you feel it when you're just like trying to.
Yeah.
And the worst with a situation like that, at least for me, is you like look around and it's like your 12 buddies are like, and they're like drinking and smoking too, and you're like, "What the fuck, man? How are you okay?"
Just whistling up a hill. No, it was a hugely embarrassing moment that changed nothing in my life. I did nothing differently afterwards. You would like to think that I learned from it.
That's a big. I feel like that's a big moment.
It should have been.
That should have at least. That should have at least spurred 30 days of something. You know what I mean? Where it's like, what? I'm gonna have smoothies every morning and do that for like 8 days and then bail on it.
But then you did change. When was that? It was like 2-3 years ago. Because you had a pretty, would you call it a lifestyle change? Is that too extreme?
Quitting smoking is a huge thing.
I there were like 3 months where I couldn't swallow solid food, and that's a good diet. That is a good diet.
And was that because of something that happened?
I never precisely figured out what it was, but the thing that I did differently, like the change that I made, was I stopped taking allergy medication. That was like, we're in such a dry place that I was getting so incredibly dry that I think my esophagus decided that it was in like shock, or it was like that every time I ate something that was like abrasive, that there wasn't enough like lubrication in my throat. I never got this diagnosis, but it got better after I did that. And
after
when
you quit,
after the allergy pills,
yeah.
But along with that, there was like a period of a month where I couldn't smoke weed at all, and that was when I stopped smoking cigarettes and never smoked them again since.
Oh, awesome.
And then I used to have to eat things. Do you know Kate Purdy?
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, she's another New Yorker out here now, TV writer. I started going to her, and she gave me some like Ayurvedic treatment and stuff.
What does that mean?
Indian, like she gave me some like teas and herbs and like some like food
and
stuff.
To inhale and stuff, or
no, just to like I would drink some in the morning, and then there were some like mung bean dishes that I could eat, and it was like the only thing I could eat for like a long time.
Oh wow!
And then I would say within a month of getting better from that, I was completely back to eating all the shit that I did. Because I think maybe you're big like me, we're big, but we're also like kind of like strong looking people, you
right,
know?
Yeah.
And I think that like sometimes I'll eat like a shit ton, and then I'll just like go and like I'll lift a bunch of weights and stuff. I think you just get bigger. Like, but I'm like, I think that's like the smart thing to do. I'm gonna like eat an entire pizza and then get diarrhea on this elliptical machine, and then and then just sort of start like pushing weights in the air, and you know, and like look at me,
yeah.
Because
you know,
that is what I like at the gym is people look at me.
it's all about the, like, my wife always says it, but you carry it well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, I do. You could look at me and not guess I'm 300 pounds,
no,
but I'm like 305. And I carry it well, but my knees hurt.
Right.
And,
yeah, me too. I'm the same. Yeah.
And recently I've been having some minor back issues, and that's like my biggest fear in the world. And someone said to me, and I forget who it was, but someone recently, I was like, yeah, I've been having this like little weird back thing. And I explained it, and I was like, I mis-deadlifted one time, and it kind of tweaked it. And every once in a while, I tweak it doing something like where I'm bending at the posterior chain. And one time, I just like woke up in the morning, and my back was so sore, and I think it was because like my gut was like pulling my body a certain way.
I get that too. Yeah.
And then when I'm walking like sort of like a boat, like literally like that. I look like Bluto from Popeye, and I walk like him too, where he's just like big old gut and like swinging arms. Like, and so I think I like fucked my back up, and I think I had scoliosis as a kid. I'm assuming I still have it. I never did anything to correct it.
Mm.
But my gut is so big now, and it like bows me, and I'm like, oh shit. And then I mentioned that to someone, and I feel like it might have been Ryan Stanger, who's a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I was talking to someone about back stuff, and they were like, dude, this is not a joke. Take care of that shit right now.
Yeah.
It will never get better on its own, and it will only get worse, and it's debilitating.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it happened to me on like my 33rd birthday out here. I like got into my car weird.
Yeah.
You know, for anyone over 6 feet tall, getting into a normal size car is like, and if you're overweight, you're like, I guess I'm just dropping from this height. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I'm like, I like grab the thing, and I'm like, I'm the only guy that uses that little oh shit handle, because I'm like, into the car, and it's like, and then you like pick your leg up to bring it in with you. Yeah.
I was just saying, there's you got to hold and then slide your butt into a car. That's how I get into an automobile.
Yeah. And I like fucking cranked my back like 2 years ago, and it was the day before my 33rd birthday, and everyone was coming to a bar to hang out with me, and I woke up in the morning and I couldn't walk.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, I had to like, you know, like you have to like roll yourself out of bed, and I kind of had to like slow. And then once I was up and like moving, I was like, oh, it got so stiff. And then that terrified me, and I'm like, I have to be so much smarter.
Yeah.
And that's just like not what I want to hear.
No.
Because I am a former like do whatever I want, fucking athlete, jump out of like second story window, you know, do all this asinine shit that you've like that every teenager did. I did till I was 29. And now I'm fucking like, I can't do any of the fun shit anymore. I played rugby in college, and then after college in New York, I played for a few more years.
So you were an athlete, so it wasn't even like college, and then
I played rugby until I was like 28 in New York City, and then I play like once a year now.
Yeah,
and I was playing in February in Vegas in the Sevens tournament. I was sitting in with some like Salt Lake City team. Never met so many Mormons and Polynesian people in one day.
Oh yeah,
but that's apparently where they all are.
Yeah,
because
that's true.
Min, not ministry. What's it called when you like a missionary?
Missionary. Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
They like go to these Polynesian countries and they're like,
come
hey,
back.
Yeah, you should be Mormon. Trust us. It's cool. And it's like, okay.
Then, yeah.
And these all these polys are like big fucking strong people.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, and I spent like 2 months really trying to get back in shape. Not enough. But I'm out on the field and in eight minutes into the game I'm playing, I tackle a dude and I land on his knee. Like his knee is up. I land on his knee and I'm like, ooh, that knocked the wind out of me. And then I can't catch my breath for like another 10 minutes. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, I think I got to come out. And they're like, man, you really are out of shape. I'm like, I know, but I don't think I'm that out of shape.
Yeah.
And then like we took a break in between matches and we went back to the hotel and I was laying in the hotel and all of a sudden I coughed once and my eyes went like white.
Oh.
I had broken a rib.
Oh,
and in like 8 minutes of something that I played for a decade and loved every minute of, I like fucking lost it all. Like, and I'm like, and that's because I wasn't in that, I wasn't in good enough shape to be
out.
Yeah.
I had Madeline was there for when I played kickball and I just went to kick. And who did I just kick? So I kicked something.
Nobody.
It wasn't a person.
It's weird that your intern has to stay in a bowl underneath the table. Yeah, we seen a couple of upskirts. If that's cool, gamers. Yeah, sure. Where's this? What is this podcast?
I just went to kick the ball and grade 3 groin pull. Just like leg came down and I thought that, you know, it was like as if
splitting
I had
half.
Done. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was like as if they were splitting half. And then like 4 to 6 weeks later, I was a little bit better. Like it took that long.
And that's, and you can't fucking be hurt for in our business as a person who doesn't have something to do day to day, doesn't have any protection. Like if I throw my back out and then I get the call to be a U5 on Brooklyn 99 and I can't walk and I gotta say no, turn down my SAG day rate. You know what I mean? Like Phil Jackson, I can't let you wait until my back went out.
Just like Phil Jackson.
Do you get anxiety about like being in good physical condition to work? Like, are you one of those people who will like book a job and then be like, am I getting sick now? Like, we have a lot of people like that on our podcast.
That when they book a job, they start saying
they like immediately get shingles. Like out of fear that like.
Oh, no. Yeah. For me, it's honestly, though, I will say a couple of times I shot a movie called The Little Hours. I had like a week.
Yeah.
I shot a week in it. I shot 3 days or whatever, but it was cool. We went to Italy. We're hanging out. And we were shooting one day and we had to run.
Yeah.
And I was playing a guard. So I'm wearing like chainmail and carrying a spear and we have to run and not that much.
Yeah.
And a couple of times in and I'm like, I'm hurting.
Yeah.
I'm really hurting. If I was the lead of this movie or I knew the director was a buddy, hence why I actually booked it. But like if it was a different situation, I'd be like, all right, let's take 5. But I didn't want to say that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not in good enough shape to do comedy, which is like such a low bar for fitness. Yeah. like I had to run once in the last year for money and it was hard. Like if you're not in good enough shape to stand around and do comedy, have you ever shot anything where you're just like on your feet for 6 hours and you're like, I need to fucking sit down.
Yeah.
It's like, you should be okay to stand. Like you think about fucking people who are at war.
Yeah.
You're like, I can't stand for 6 hours and make $900. And my dad was in a ladder until he died. He was like on the top of a ladder, fucking cranking lights and doing like, you know, these mechanics who are like 60 and they're fucking twisting, not like they're on their knees. It's like, fuck, man, I gotta get back. And then here's another business side of health and fitness. When that movie got into Sundance, I went along with them for like fun, like. Not usually the last person in the credits doesn't get invited to Sundance unless the director is your friend and the other guy has a house that Sundance is giving him because he's a celebrity. And he's like, Adam Pally goes, you can sleep on my couch. I'm like, I'm coming. So I went to Sundance and then like I kind of got dragged around to like the events and it's like, all right, let's get the guys from the movie in a photo because the movie's mostly female. So it's like, get all the beautiful, hilarious women in a shot. And then it's like, all right, let's get the dudes. Yeah. And the dudes that were present were me. Nick Offerman was in and out because he had some other stuff going on. Me, Adam Pally, and Dave Franco.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, go stand and take a photo. And it's we're inside, but it is like the dead of winter. It's snowy out. And Dave Franco's in like a sweater and a leather jacket and pants, and he looks great.
Yeah.
And Adam Pally's dressed all sharp and looks great. And I'm standing next to them, and I am I'm bigger than both of them put together. I'm in like a fucking cowboy shirt and like Caldor jeans. And like, and I look like a fucking goober. I look like a goon. I felt so, I am so comfortable with myself.
Yeah.
Like, I have no qualms about the way I look until I'm realizing like, oh shit, I think a portion of my career is based on looks. And it's and in the last couple of years, I've started to concern myself. I feel like, Madeline, you knew me when I had shoulder-length hair for a while. Like, I had, like, long hair, worn a bun, and I was like, I don't give a fuck what I look like. Then I cut my hair, and people were like, holy shit, man, you look amazing. And I was like, oh, no, I just looked really bad before. And then it's like, I'm like, oh, maybe... There is no more also, like, this is just so specific to me, and now you're just getting into my neuroses, but, like,
no, but please.
There are no more, like, fat white guy roles was, like, a standard role for a long time. And now it's, like, everybody does everything. Like, Adam Pally was the fat guy on Happy Endings. Now they don't even need fat people in shows anymore. You know, it's, like, fat is not diverse anymore.
Like,
that's how, like, the racism got under the radar for so long. It was
they were like, well, we have a fat white person.
Dude. We got a fat white guy. It's, like, the same thing. An Asian woman? Let's get a dumpy white girl.
Yeah.
You know, it's, like, all right, let's get a freak, you know? Someone with a beard. We don't need it. Come on. A Latino? No, we got to get a beard guy in here. I didn't kick anyone.
Oh, no,
I was apologizing for crossing my legs. I'll leave it out. I'll leave the yam bag out for you, baby. And now I'm like, holy shit, I have to start caring about my appearance. Mm-hmm. And that's like the last thing I want to do. The amount of shit you have to
like
do in this.
A little bit of a fraction of what it feels like to be any kind of female in this business.
That's
like,
all I thought about the whole time. I was like, I'm now concerned with the way I look. Yeah. And I could only imagine what, you know.
Yeah, because truly, Jesus. Like, even to be like a dumpy lady on TV, you have to be like a size 2 and real life fucking gorgeous.
I know. It's crazy.
I mean, like,
what
none of this is like new news, but like,
I always get someone who doesn't really know me that well if we're shooting something together or like, or if they look at the monitor or they watch a reel, like, or someone I shot a movie with or something like that would be like, yeah, I was watching it. Gabrus, you're like really handsome. And I was like, well, I know.
Why'd you say like that? Like,
but it's like, like, people are surprised to find out I'm good looking.
Like, when people are like, you know, Jonah Hill, he could be a leading man. And he's like, I mean,
He's
his
a
whole
movie
gag is he's like kind of ugly.
Right. And I'm like, I am good looking. I know that. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, I'm so fat and so aggressively a monster that people are just like, oh, he's a disgusting fat monster. There's no way he's actually... Like, I feel like a friend of mine said one time, you have a really cute face. Like, was, like, looking at a shot of me on the monitor and said
that. That said that.
Yeah, that was weird, because I didn't know you then.
No.
You're like, hey, I'm Detroit U. And I was like, from the future?
We're
and
cute.
And you pissed your pants.
Yeah, pissed my pants.
You're like, I'm you. I was like, no.
You. All right, go Dodgers.
I'm you. And instead of it being, like, a cool moment where we meet, it's mostly foreboding. I'm you. Well, I got to turn my life around.
Do you feel bad about yourself?
No, I'm really on an upswing, and it takes me. I also like recently like looked like Googled depression, and I was like, oh yeah, I think I'm going through that. Like not too long ago.
Yeah, when?
I had like a couple of, and it's all just like fucking, what's the expression? Like upper middle class, upper class.
Right. Yeah. Or like,
I'm like complaining about like, but I had like a year of like, where three things that like, if they would have went, would have been huge and they didn't. And I really thought they were, or I really hoped they were. And I just had a bad year and it was like, I want to buy a house. I want to have a kid. And like, none of that stuff was happening for me and some other shit that I'm never going to share on a podcast. And I was like, just dealing with a lot of shit. And I was like, I didn't feel like doing anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't care about anything. And it's like, it's easy to just be like, I'm stoned and playing video games and having fun. And then you're and it's like, I'd rather do nothing than do this thing that's coming up today. And then you would get like a day of work, which usually, and I hate that I attach so much emotional health to work and success, but I do.
So do I.
And then when I get one, I'm like, oh, And then I knew something was up, and I'd get one, and I'd be like, oh, fuck, I don't even want to go tomorrow. And I'd be like, wait, no, this is what your whole life, this is what all you've ever wanted was. And then I was like, oh, and I was like, just search like depression. And it's like, just because I'm not, I switched to a real doctor. Like I was like, oh, I'm going to go to see a new doctor.
Oh yeah.
Cause I like, I
what
just
was
got,
your what was your other doctor?
Whatever the business physical they would get. You know what I mean? Like when I booked an MTV job or whatever, they'd be like, you got to pass this physical.
Oh.
And they would just send me to a doctor. So I never went to a real regular doctor. So I got one when I was like 33 and I was just telling him about this, and he goes, you know, being anxious doesn't necessarily show up at, or being depressed in a guy like you might not show up in like sad, crying, or nervous about your scenario. It could be I forget the word. It could show itself in a different way. And I was like, really? Maybe I have like anxiety, because I've never been some person to like overthink anything or be nervous. But then I'm like, oh, I have like my own, not my own form of it.
Yes.
Tons of people probably have this feeling. But I had just never thought, I thought to be depressed, you'd have to be crying and not want to leave the bed. To be anxious, you had to be like the traditional, like any one of my, here we go, Jewish friends. Yeah. I was gonna say, fuck it, keep swinging, you know?
Phil Jackson.
This will be, you'll edit this down and be like, it's 6 minutes long. I guess we can put it out.
It's 6 minutes long, and it'll be just the racial stuff.
It's 6 minutes long, and it manages to still be problematic. And I was like, oh, shit. Manifest. That's what I was looking for. It manifested itself in me in a different way. And I was like, oh, and it took me, like, harnessing that and talking to a doctor, and a doctor being like, well, let's talk about whatever, this, that. Yeah. And we talked about some, like, medical stuff I had going on. He's like, it could be tied to this or this. Have you tried this? And, like, and then I eventually got a healthier relationship with marijuana, where now marijuana is my only like reward.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of, it used to be like marijuana was given, food was rewards or Band-Aids.
Uh-huh.
And now instead it's just like, if I eat healthy, I'm allowed to smoke weed. Like if but if I like get high and do something disgusting, then like the next day you have to be like, you're not allowed to get high, dude, because you... Like, it's like, I feel like I'm parenting myself.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
no,
hey, I gave you the opportunity to be a grown up and you fucked it up. Now you lose privileges.
Yeah.
I take the car away because you sped.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
You are going to be a good dad. Yeah, I do the.
No more weed, son.
How does,
go
ahead.
I do the thing where, like, I'll let myself smoke weed whenever I want to, but then I'm not allowed to say no to anything after that. So, like, I'll get stoned and I won't want to go to the gym, but I'll go to the gym and I'll do the same workout that I would have if I didn't go to the gym. I'll just hate it because I'm super stoned. And then
I'd rather be like watching something. Yeah.
And then it just turns out that I'm willing to hate going to the gym, but I'll still be stoned. It's not working. But
I got some really great advice from a friend one time who is a stoner, and like an older dude was like, do you know what I do if I like don't want to go to the gym, but I really want to get high? He's like, I put on all my workout clothes, the sneakers, the bag, a water bottle, and I sit down and then I get high. And then he goes, sometimes I go, go for a walk, and that counts.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'll look at myself and be like, I might as well just go to the gym. And he just gets up, and I'm like, oh, that's a fucking brilliant move.
Yeah.
And lately I've been trying to experiment with not smoking on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays.
Oh, nice.
Which is very hard.
Yeah, that's definitely. Yeah. Especially Mondays.
Right, well, Mondays is like the best day to do. Well, I've like shifted Sundays to being that day now. Like my wife's like, when she's like, I'm taking off Sundays from drinking, I'm like, well, I can't take Sundays off from weed.
Right,
she's why not? I'm like, I don't know, Game of Thrones, the daytime. Really? Like, the reasoning is like so disparate. We gotta have a good dinner. She's like, we have dinner every night. I'm like, oh yeah, well.
I think even The Rock eats like a dozen donuts on a Sunday or whatever. Yeah.
If God can rest, I can take a pump, maybe.
I'm curious, how does your anxiety manifest itself then?
I don't know. I would say it's probably overthinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm learning that I get a lot of anxiety from scheduling.
Interesting.
I'm okay. Like I have to be very good. I have to be like in the calendar, writing it down, because there's just so much shit going on all the time. And I say that like I'm super busy with like important stuff, but it's all whatever podcasts, whatever the new live shows were.
Yes.
When I was like 20, I was doing 5 shows a week.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing like the LA version of that, which is like my friend's podcast or coffee with this person or like,
it's just our lives are like full of a bunch of pieces of things, and it feels simultaneously crazy to schedule it all. And I think what makes it feel even crazier is it all seems so stupid.
Right.
Like individual, I'm like, why am I stressed about like having a lunch with someone or like,
right. It's like, I'm going to lunch with someone. Well, that's what I thought about like this morning. I was like, oh fuck, I have three podcasts to do today. I'm like, that's a great day.
Yeah.
Like, if you also, told someone else, like, I made $0 today, but like, if you told a friend, like, yeah, I'm pissed. I have 3 different hour and a half long conversations with funny people that I like. They're like, what are you complaining about? You're like, oh, right. Well, I don't have 6 uninterrupted hours to try to get 1 hour of writing done.
But you know, but that's real. Like, that, like, I feel like what you were saying before, I wanted to ask you, too, because you said you were trying to clear your schedule to do the things you actually want to do.
Yeah.
I wanted to know what you actually want to do. But also, like, just, that's such a real thing. Like, to, like, you need uninterrupted blocks of time
and then
to like get a fragment of like the hard good thing that is like what you really for real want to really really
do. Like chip away at something. It's one of those things
and it
where
it feels so bad and less fun.
Yeah, like at the, on a Friday night you like look back at your week and you're like, I had like 3 free hours a day, but they were never linked together. And it's like
you can't.
You
yeah.
just like look at your schedule and you're like. And I hate, and like, I used to hate that when I lived in New York, and it'd be like, I have 2 hours free in between these two things. It's not enough time to do anything, but it's not short enough to like jam them both out. And it's like, I just have this dead time where it's like, all right, I'm going to go sit at a cafe, which feels insane when you're 35 and like allegedly busy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like one of those things where it's like, I want to exercise. I want to, and I want to go to the beach, and I want to get writing done. Probably flip those two. I want to be working on things that people have asked me for. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not even at the level where I'm like, I'm just trying to jam on something here. Instead, I'm just like, fuck, I need. Like, if someone's like, you should get. I literally said to my manager today, they're like, you should get us that. I'm like, cool. Well, I'll start working on that. You guys let me know if anything comes up and I need to get it done like ASAP. And they're like, just get it done ASAP.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, valid argument. And anyone, and I remember when I first started in the business, I was like, get this done. I'm like, fuck yeah. And like that night, I'm like, here's a treatment idea for a movie that you casually mentioned in a meeting. And it's like, they're like, it's never going to happen. This is garbage. What
You
misread the entire premise behind this meeting or whatever. And I'm like, fine. But now when someone's like, I want to read that. And I'm like, got it. And then I just go home and I'm just like, am I good at this? Mm-hmm. Why do I care? Am I a writer? Am I an actor?
Do you think it's because... do you think it's because like it's been disappointed enough times that you've realized like, oh, nothing's real and maybe nothing will go?
I think it's...
And it's like a little bit of an avoidance
tactic. I think it's truly like, I don't want to go all the way down. Like, here's a disgusting misogynistic analogy, but it's like, I don't want to keep going back to these different girls' apartments to then... sleep, like, go head home at 3 in the morning. Not, like, I feel like I've walked down so the path. I'm just, why am I uncomfortable with that after everything else I've said? But, like, I've walked that path so many times where I'm just like, it's hard to be excited about it. That's what it is. It's hard to get the excitement again. And the other thing, the other issue I have is, and I know we need to wrap it up, but I'll just say this quick. I've been using this, like, analogy, it's not an analogy, but this like idea lately where it's like a thought experiment. If a genie popped up right now in this room and said to me, John Gabers, you can have any job you want in this business. And I would go, and it would be like, I don't know what I want to do, which is insane.
Oh, that's true?
Yeah, like I don't know what I exactly want to do. You
is
know
there
what I mean?
A person who does what, like,
I guess, like, but then it's
like, that's easier for me sometimes is to be like, I want to do, like, I mean, this is, like, stupid, but, like, even, like, the way, like, Neil Casey will, like, do a nice job in something, then he'll write on a couple staffs, and, like, it's much easier for me to be, like him or like her.
Right,
is there a person like that for you?
Yeah, for me, I guess it's, like, Seth Rogen, Jason Segel, like, those people who do a bunch of everything and everyone thing. I want to be, like, I guess on the one I would explain is, like, I want to be in a bunch of things where I think other people are funny.
Yeah.
That's like, I don't know exactly what that means, but I've done so much stuff, and this is not a brag, but I've done so much like hosted stuff where I'm the only funny person.
Yes.
Right.
And it feels like, which is fine. I'm cocky. Yeah. I am very funny, but it's one of those things where it's like, fuck, I want to be the second funniest person.
Yeah.
I want someone else to be like, shit, it's so awesome to work with this person because they're, I find them funny.
Yeah.
Instead of like, shit, how do I get these assholes to not fuck me over in the edit?
Yeah.
Here we go. I feel great about myself. When I just hear my car smashing.
So we played this game with Mono when he was a guest where the game is basically I'll list the ingredients of different Taco Bell items and you tell me what item that is.
Oh, shit.
And I have to say, Mono was excellent at
it. Of course, he's the best. He's more of an expert than me and Betsy, and we eat Taco Bell together a lot. On my podcast, High and Mighty, we've done 3 Taco Bell specific episodes with the 3 of us just eating Taco Bell and talking about it.
Well, great.
I think you came up in the mono episode.
I'm definitely dying because Gabrus has me over his house once a month to eat disgusting amounts of food. It's hard with Taco Bell because it is just slightly rearranging a bunch of different shit.
That actually makes this game a little difficult. Like, there are times where there's like, it's hard to tell if that was like there was one where it was like, maybe that's a chalupa, but maybe that's a fiesta.
Right. That's the beefy 5-layer. The bean burrito has no beef. Yeah. Like,
hey, I'm the only beefy 5-layer in this room.
I'm truly a deep person. I have 5 layers.
All underneath the shirt.
You guys, sorry, it's not, my phone is a little slow. You can keep chatting while I pull the game up.
Okay, yeah, let's talk more about sad health shit. How are you feeling at 40 about your health? I mean, it's easy, and it's also easy to compare yourself to other comedians.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, I'm doing better than this person, but it's like, we're not the right market of people.
Right. It is interesting to see, like, these people that are much skinnier than us, but also are fat, you know, like just like you, there'll be like 3 beach days a year, and then you'll be like, oh, I always thought you were in good shape, but you're just waifish, you know, just like a tiny person.
You just like dress well.
But you're eating the same shit that I am. Yeah. So I have this bad habit where, like, I recently bought a stationary bike for my house, thinking like, okay, that'll, like, those times where I can't get to the gym, I'm gonna pound out like a 30 to an hour on this bike, and I do it. I routinely do it. But I always eat massive amounts of shit before I do it. And that's the only way that I've found that I'm able to convince.
Triggers you to exercise?
Yeah, that I feel so much guilt that I then get on that bike. And I think maybe
that's exercise bulimia.
Okay, so I have exercise bulimia. Yeah.
Right,
so,
rather than throw up or take...
I mean, like, maybe, you know, not to, like, throw an extreme... Like, I know people are suffering from it, but, like, that's the thing.
That would be... It is one of those things where, like, you can only... I'm the opposite. If I don't eat... If I eat like crap, I won't do anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it also works conversely, where if I go to the gym, I will be healthier, like, for at least 18 hours after. You know, because it's almost like my wife and I talk about it. It's like, you don't want to undo it.
Yeah.
There's something about but if you pre-do it, then you're like, I'm trying to undo it. Yeah.
There's a witch right across the street from my gym, and it is a killer. It's just a killer. Every day I leave that gym, and it's the hardest fight of my life is avoiding that witch, and I'm successful, like, maybe a third of the time. And then the rest of the time, I get a 14-inch Thanksgiving on a bread.
It's a terrible meal.
It's such a good... Yeah.
The gyro one is fantastic.
Oh, really? I got to try the gyro one. I just learned that they deliver to me. Big problem.
Fucking delete that.
Yeah.
Grubhub and Postmates will be how I die.
Me too. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like too convenient. Yeah. Well, here, I'll give you some of the tips I've had. Mm-hmm. And if we're that similar, I stock my house with things that are healthy adjacent that I know I like.
Okay.
Like, so buffalo wings that aren't fried are it's just chicken.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And with some sauce. And I found this blue cheese that's yogurt.
Wow.
So it doesn't taste good on like a salad dressing, and you wouldn't want to eat it like straight.
But it's a good dip.
But for fucking wings, and that's what I do. Like, that's my treat now is that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've learned to and I still will fucking disappear into Taco Bell for a couple hours, or like fucking Fat Sal's myself fries sandwich with fries on the sandwich.
Yeah, baby.
Double dip. We're making sandwiches over here.
Madeline, get the fuck out of here. We're
the guys are talking, and we're hard as fuck, and we're talking about fries.
Yeah. I love bad food.
I know you do.
I know, I just hate you because you're skinny and attractive. I want to kill you.
I feel sad every day. I'm working in a business where I'm too fat still. I try so hard, and I'm still an old garbage lady, according to the only job I want to do. And I can't get thinner than this.
You can move to your hometown and be elected like a queen.
Yes,
you know what
truly,
I mean? That's the other thing,
truly,
too. Right, I don't know where you're from, but it's one of those things where it's like, oh, I feel like a disgusting monster. You go home and see your friends. You're like, oh, Christ.
Oh, I know.
I'm like, do I only still have hair because I'm happy? The only difference between my health and your health is that, like, I enjoy what I do. I know based on this podcast, doesn't sound like I do. But when I do get... I said this the other day. I booked something. I was was so excited about, and it's escaping me what it was, but I was so excited about something. I was so pumped. I went and did it. I was like, oh, hell yeah. This is what, it was the movie in Italy that I was talking about. I was like, this is so fun. I flew to Italy. I went and hung out with my friends. I got to go to, I was in a movie. I met Dave Franco. I met Alison Brie. Aubrey Plaza is a friend, but it was like, I hung out with Aubrey. Oh, this was so fucking awesome. Nick Offerman, who I've loved forever. And then I, like, 2 weeks later in the mail, came a paycheck. And I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot, like, you got paid for it. Because I was so, because I'm doing so many, like, bargains with myself where I'm like, this won't help your career at all, but it'll make you a couple of bucks today. You know what I mean? And then it's like something that actually helps your career, you forget that could also pay.
Yes. It's
and it was one of those things where I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I also did my first cartoon voice this year.
Oh,
and I was
cool.
so excited. And I was like, this is so awesome. The guys were like, you were great. And I'm like, this is so much fun. The character was like a kid who played paintball from New Jersey. So I was like, I was not a stretch. I was just being myself with like my my real accent instead of this TV accent. And I fucking loved it. And I was like, oh, that's so amazing. And then I forgot. Like, again, I got the check in the mail. I'm like, oh, I was talking to my wife. I'm like, babe, isn't this crazy? I was so excited to do that. And I didn't even think that. I got paid, whatever it is, $800 for like 2 hours work. And it's like, I mean, granted, I haven't had anything since. And that was 15 days ago. You know, listeners, take that with a grain of salt.
You throw your job out the window.
Yeah, before you go, like, oh, I got to get into cartoons. Keep in mind, I'm 13 years into this business and have worked once in the last 2 weeks. And it's one of those things where it's like, oh, you do so much shit that you don't want to do because you're like, well, this will pay. Or there's a commercial and I hate this product or whatever. But, or for me, it's a lot of like these hosting pilots, which is not stuff I want to do, but stuff I am good at. So it's like my day job is a very cool job where I host game shows or bullshit like that. That's a cool day job. I get that. But I don't want to be doing it. So and then it's rare. Then you get these other things. You're like, this is so exciting. And then you're like, oh, fuck, I got paid for that.
It's nuts.
So Neil Casey one time said we were backstage at like a fucking Mumford and Sons concert because we were performing at this festival.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, we're drinking for free. We're hanging out backstage like Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros, who sang my wedding song. They were like hanging out in the fucking green room. We're like drinking with these people. And and Neil turns to me and just goes, isn't this crazy? We get to do all this because we're slightly funnier than other people. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I've never even thought about it like that. We are backstage at a fucking festival, drinking for free, partying like, and it's only because we're like kind of funny.
A little funny,
I mean, Neil Casey is maybe the funniest human being alive. And I'm also, I've been doing it for a long time. But it is that like, holy shit, we get to do so much cool shit just because we've, the hard part is not being funny. The hard part is dedicating your life to pursuing it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's easy to be the fun. Like, all my friends who don't do this are like, oh, I'm fucking hilarious. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, okay. The thing is, you have to be okay with not ever succeeding and being rejected 5 to 8 times a week for
all
a decade.
The,
Okay,
do you want to play a game?
Yeah, let's play.
Great, okay. I'm going to read you some ingredients.
I think we have way less than 10 minutes to play this game.
But you know what? It's okay. okay. Enriched wheat flour, water, vegetable shortening. I won't give you the ingredients in the vegetable shortening. Sugar, salt, leavening, molasses, dough conditioner, which has fumaric acid, distilled monoglycerides, enzymes, vital wheat gluten, cellulose, gum, wheat starch, calcium carbonate, calcium propionate, sorbic acid and or potassium sorbate, chicken, water, modified tapioca starch, salt, spices, natural flavors, carrageenan, disodium inosate and guanylate, sugar, torula yeast, citric acid, maltodextrin, garlic powder, dextrose, onion powder, sodium phosphates, pinto beans, soybean oil. This is all on Taco Bell's website, by the way. This is all.
God, honestly, this game is upsetting. I thought you were going to be like, beans, sauce. And now I'm like, oh, no. I've only recognized one word. And it's chicken.
salt, sugar, spice, beet powder, natural flavors, sunflower oil, maltodextrin, corn flour, trehalose, modified cornstarch, water, paprika, salt, tomato powder, spices, onion powder, xanthan gum, malic acid, vitamin C, more torula yeast, milk, cream, potassium sorbate, fresh tomatoes, fresh iceberg lettuce, cheddar cheese, and fresh onions.
Jesus Christ.
I have to say, Mono knew most of these, not just in the general sense, but he knew like which shade of like burrito it was.
Of course he did. He's so good. Fuck, is this a I'm gonna guess a chicken quesadilla.
Close.
Oh, I mean, it's all close. I mean, like everything is like, like no matter what other item it is, it's all gonna be one step away from each other.
Chicken burrito supreme.
How did you know that, Ben?
Because what he said. They're all
yeah, right.
That was the only other thing
but
I could think of.
How did you know it was supreme?
Oh, because everything that you do is supreme. Yeah.
Because you said cream.
Yeah, that was actually.
Oh, because the supreme has.
Yeah, supreme adds.
Was I right?
Tomato and.
Yeah,
so. I got
you
it.
You were exactly right. It's a chicken burrito supreme.
Shit, yeah, dude.
So that was a combination. Because honestly, I'm gonna. Be totally forthright. I only started listening around like 3/4 of the way in, and then I just listened to what you said and then modified it ever so slightly.
Right, right. So that would be like my next guess would have been a chicken fiesta melt or something like that.
I think you got a B+ because you pushed me towards the A.
Hey, thank you. It's okay. I don't need all this. I know what it may have sounded like based on this interview that I do need constant validation, but I'll be okay. Take another upskirt.
What was the yams thing you said?
My yam bag. Brown on the outside, orange in the inside.
That's why it's called a yam bag?
I have no idea. It's just like one time someone's like, I heard someone say like, I got hit in the yams. And I was like, oh, that makes your scrotum a yam bag.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is just like a funny. Because ball bag always made me laugh instead of nutsack.
Ball bag was always funny. Yeah.
The alliteration, I think.
Yeah.
Let's not analyze it. Hit me with another one, Walters, here.
All right.
I'm pumped.
Enriched wheat flour, water, vegetable shortening, sugar, salt, leavening, molasses, dough conditioner, calcium propionate, sorbic acid, and or potassium sorbate, beef, water, seasoning, maltodextrin, salt, oats, soy lecithin, spices, tomato powder, sugar, onion powder, citric acid.
Tomato powder. What an insane phrase. Tomato powder. Oh, yum. Does this have tomato powder?
Torula yeast, which is just... Mono told us what it was. Is that just MSG?
Yeah,
I think torula yeast is like a code name for MSG.
Awesome.
Cocoa, disodium isonate and guanylate, dextrose, lactic acid, salt, sodium, phosphates, enriched long grain rice, water, canola oil, seasoning, peppers, citric acid, paprika, onion powder, disodium guanylate and isonate, more torula yeast, cheddar cheese, which, just for fun, if we want to know, has salt, enzymes, annatto, an anti-caking agent, non-fat milk, cheese whey, water, vegetable oil, modified food starch, maltodextrin, natural flavors, salt, dipotassium phosphate, jalapeno puree, vinegar, lactic acid, cellulose gum, potassium citrate, sodium sterol lactylate, citric acid, annatto and oleoresin paprika, milk cream, modified cornstarch, cellulose gum, vitamin A, and last but not least, soybean oil, water, vinegar, egg yolk, chipotle peppers, xanthan gum, chili peppers, potassium sorbate, onion powder, paprika, and sesame seed oil.
Jesus Christ. I have no fucking idea. All right, let me try.
Okay. You can think out. Yeah, you can kind of like walk us through your thinking if you want.
The cheesy gordita crunch.
Oh, that's my favorite item.
Mine's the Crunchwrap Supreme.
Oh,
I love a Crunchwrap Supreme.
The CGC is like the dream. Like, that's all I get.
What's a cheesy gordita crunch?
It's a gordita with like melted cheese and Baja sauce around a hard shell taco.
Mm-hmm.
What's a gordita? Like, how is that different from a Crunchwrap Supreme?
Isn't the Crunchwrap's like fully?
The Crunchwrap is a burrito around it, too, right? And a gordita is like in between a pita and a.
Yeah.
It's a little thicker.
It's soft. Real soft.
Yeah.
It's doughy.
Oh. Yeah. Maybe that's what I like then.
Yeah. If you like the Crunchwrap Supreme, I think you will also like the cheesy gordita crunch.
Yeah.
And the Baja sauce is like.
Which one's Baja sauce?
Baja sauce is like their like orangey sauce. It's like xanthan gum, paprika. Like I have no idea what this could be. I'm gonna guess what would it be? I guess I would say a
Baja something? Isn't there a Baja something supreme?
Yeah, but Baja sauce, like every... I'm so stressed right now. This is like so funny that I'm having such a nice time.
And honestly, you're frozen right now.
I'm having... Oh, yeah, like, all right, thanks. Loosen me up, champ.
Do you want this?
Is it a BP5 layer?
It's not. Do you want to take another guess?
No, I want you to just tell me.
Okay.
I will say, part of me is truly having a hard time listening to you say it because it's upsetting me. Because, like, I just want to be like cheese, sour cream. And then when you think about it, it's like, it goes against so much shit I believe in about food, where it's like, just eat the thing that is the thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, just eat something that the ingredient is itself.
Because I did not even, like, I didn't even break down, so, there were even, like cheese.
If, beef probably has like a
beef,
shit.
But it's there's upsetting. So much.
What is
that?
Or you take a guess. I pushed you in the right direction.
Oh, no, I also have a hard time listening. We're the same. I felt like there was definitely beef and cheese in there.
Yeah,
meaning like the ground beef and cheese,
uh-huh.
right? So what are... I also don't know that many menu items. I've always been sort of just a double-decker tacos.
Yeah. It could be a beef burrito. It could be a beefy roll-up.
What's that one that has like chili, the Mexi Melt?
Oh, the
Mexi Melt. That's my guess.
Just tell us, Madeline.
It's a beef quesarito.
Oh, the quesarito. I should have known by how long the ingredient list is.
Because there's a lot. Is there a lot of?
Because it's a burrito, but with a quesadilla as its shell. So it's like two tortillas with cheese in the middle, and you make a big circle quesadilla, and then you make the burrito around it.
Oh, that's excellent.
And Mano's the one who taught me to get that extra done.
Oh, nice.
And it's and it really upgrades it. Yeah.
Extra, like,
press it a little bit longer because
it
gets a little crispy.
Because it bums
perfect.
Me out when it's not, like, melt.
Dude, I talk about Taco Bell so much. It literally is just five different color pastes arranged in different ways. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't like it. I just had it on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'm on a diet and I'm trying to have kids. And I'm like, let's have fucking Taco Bell. And my wife's like, you can't. I'm like, well, all right, I'll get something else. She's like, well, if you go to Taco Bell, I'll have nachos. I'm like, driving home from Ascot. I'm like, okay, I'll get you nachos. Welcome on.
That's what gets me every time. It's that drive home. There's like something that's going to win
my battle with fast food.
Yeah,
like
I can get pretty far.
So I've been. Another thing I found is that the Pavilion on Melrose and Vine has a really good baked chicken that comes like fried chicken. You can get like eight pieces for $8 or whatever. And I got that for lunch today because it's the same thing. I'm driving home from somewhere and I'm like, well, I just want to get something. I'm like, oh, if I run into Vons, I can have that.
Yeah.
And that's like eating six pieces of chicken is I like to do.
Me too.
So if it's not six pieces of fried chicken, maybe I'm helping myself in this way.
Yeah.
And it's the Albertsons chicken that they have at Vons now. And Albertsons is considered to have, there are a lot of people who claim Albertsons makes the best chicken in all of Los Angeles.
Oh, the fried chicken from Pavilions is fucking dope.
And that's the fried chicken from Albertsons, which is the best. Yeah. So it's the same. Yeah. So those are great. Yeah. Gabrus. Would you tell our listeners where they can find you all over the world and the internet?
I'm at John Gabrus, no H in John or Gabrus on Twitter. I am at Gabrus Picks on Instagram, PICS. I have a podcast called High and Mighty. Feel free to subscribe. You guys will, I've known you, but now you guys will both be guests. I am truly thinking of doing a doppelganger series where I interview people who are a lot like me, Ian Carmel and shit like that.
Madeline would be great at that.
I'm so much like you.
She misread this whole
situation. I'm a quiet and anxious lady. I'm clearly not comfortable in my own skin.
I also have a Patreon, Action Boys, where me, Ben Rogers, and Ryan Stanger review classic action movies, and it's a blast. Guys, thank you for having me on. This is really fun.
I'm
going to drive home 100 miles an hour and hope I die.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.